we're going to talk about transportation apps.
I am happy to say that at least Uber has come to my area, and I used it a couple times, and it's been great. I really was kind of skeptical. I went toward the city, but I'll tell you, I could get an Uber car within 10 minutes, and that was amazing to me. It did work out very well, so I'm glad to see that it's expanding just beyond the city, and will make it far more likely that I use it. I did take it to the airport and save myself $30. The gamble, of course, is not so much in Boston, but in my area, I don't think if I had to get someplace at a certain time and it was absolutely essential that I'd use it, only because what happens if it's not available and then you haven't arranged for any alternatives. But I'm glad to see them increase. Mika also has with him some codes, discount codes for the various services. I'll let him talk to you about that.
I think in getting started, we should kind of think about what transportation options were available before these app-based services, because it can help kind of compare some of the advantages and pros and cons, if you will, before these services for the types of transportation that they offer, which is sort of curb-to-curb ground transportation, if you will, in a car or a van or some other type of vehicle. You had taxis, limo companies, the ride, and to some extent the public transportation offered by the MBTA. So as far as what would most directly have been available before these services and what still kind of competes with them mainly would be traditional taxis, the ride, and then some types of limo companies that you might work with. Transportation network company. I mean, nobody knew what to call these services when they came into being, and that's a name that I think I saw in the state of California, that they call them transportation network companies, or TNCs for short, but just sort of these new app-based transportation companies. In Boston, we're fortunate in that we have a lot of these companies to choose from and are able to use, which is not the case in all parts of the country. So the companies that we have in Boston are Uber. Uber was founded in 2009 in San Francisco. The latest information I had was that it's now available in over 70 cities worldwide. The Boston launch was in October 2011. I started using it in January of 2012, mainly in Boston and Washington, D.C., and I've completed about 400 trips with Uber since that point. And I'm reading you these, by the way, in the order that they launched in Boston, basically. The second service we're going to talk about is called Halo, H-A-I-L-O, and that one is a little bit different than the rest of these services. That one actually allows you to request a regular licensed taxi, as opposed to the other ones that let you sort of summon a private driver, if you will. Halo launched in Boston in October 2012. They also have some routes in Ireland and Europe, and they're in some other U.S. cities, including Washington, D.C. and Chicago. They also recently have been trying to innovate a little bit. They now have a service where even if you didn't hail the taxi through the app, if you just got a taxi at a cab stand, you can actually pay with the Halo app if the driver has the driver app. In Washington, D.C., they just launched a promotion where they're offering cab fare during business hours for 50% off. So Halo, you're getting a regular taxi just as you would before. You're just sort of avoiding the taxi dispatch company. The trip is going right from your phone through the server and to the taxi driver that uses Halo, probably in addition to subscribing to something like MetroCab or the Boston Cab Association, but they're all licensed taxis. The next one that launched in Boston is called Sidecar, and that's another peer-to-peer ride-sharing company. The launch was in March 2013, and then the final company to have launched in Boston is called Lyft, spelled L-Y-F-T. That one launched in Boston in June 2013, and I've taken about 300 rides with them since they launched, mostly in Boston, but also in San Diego and Washington, D.C., and probably a few other places. A lot of these apps are now moving to a model where anybody with a car can sort of sign up to be a driver. So your car has to meet certain criteria. For instance, with each company, it may need to be a certain model year, and your license and driving record and insurance would have to be validated. But essentially, somebody that owns a car, like let's say a 2008 2004 or newer can sign up to be a Lyft or, in the case of Uber, an UberX driver or a sidecar driver. It adds tremendously to the number of vehicles that would be available on the road to give people rides. There's a huge barrier to entry if you wanted to become a taxi driver. You have to get a medallion and go through all sorts of processes and perhaps rent a cab. But this basically, as long as you have a working car that meets some minimum requirements, you can become a driver. And you could either do it as your full-time job or as a lot of people do who either go to school or have another full-time job, just kind of part-time. And the way the companies are evolving, you can kind of sign on just whenever you feel like driving and making some extra money. So it greatly expands the number of cars that are on the road. Now, when Uber launched in Boston and in a lot of its early cities, you were basically just able to get a black car. So that was kind of a sedan, you know, it might be a Cadillac or a Lincoln, but it was a higher end black car type vehicle. And most of the drivers were livery drivers that were taking these Uber calls during sort of downtime that they had. But it was a higher end vehicle, and the price was somewhere between using a car service and using a taxi. So it was a little bit more than a taxi, but less expensive than if you had gone with a car service like Boston Coach. And that service is still available through Uber. It's called Uber Black, meaning a black car. And for instance, the minimum fare for a black car ride is $15, and then you're charged time and distance. But following the launch of the Uber Black service, they pretty quickly expanded. So now, in the case of Uber, there are 5 different vehicle types you can request, and that's a black car, an SUV, which is also kind of a luxury vehicle that could hold up to 6 people, a taxi, so you can actually also, kind of like Halo, you can request a licensed taxi through Uber, but you'd be paying the taxi meter fare of the taxi you got as opposed to a fare that Uber calculated. And the newest services are called UberX, which is kind of their lower priced or low price option, which is actually less expensive than a taxi. And then the final option that we happen to have in Boston is called Uber XL, again for your lower cost option, but for a larger vehicle that can hold 6 people. And again, with Uber X, the price, I think they quote the price as being 40% less than a metered Boston cab. I found that it is less than a cab fare. With Uber, the tip is also included in the amount that you get. Lyft is similar. Right now in Boston, you just have one type of Lyft that you can request. You put in your address and request a Lyft, and it's again a peer-to-peer service where somebody who has some extra time and a car has signed up to become a driver that this app-based infrastructure allows. So you get a driver, and the prices are comparable to UberX, so kind of on the low end. For instance, with any of these services, I can get to work, which is about a mile and a half distance, for about $6 or $7, including the tip. Sidecar is similar. It's a peer-to-peer driving service. The way the app works is a little bit different. With Sidecar, when you open the app, you put in both your origin and destination, and the system finds drivers that are available, and you're actually able to choose the driver you want. For instance, you see the make of car they have, how far they are away from you, and Sidecar will give you the price of your trip up front. So if we were going, you know, from here to North Station, it would tell us the trip up front, and certain drivers may have different prices. I think the drivers are able to sign up for a multiple in terms of how much they want to charge. So you might have one car that's 2 minutes away with one price and one that's 10 minutes away with another. But you're going to pay that price even if they get stuck in traffic or whatever may happen. I found with Sidecar, for your longer trips, that they tend to be less expensive. They kind of pride themselves also on being kind of the least expensive option of these new TNC type services. It's also worth noting that if you're going to or from the airport, Lyft and Sidecar don't currently charge you the airport tolls, which with Uber or other services can add up to about $8 or $9 in tolls that'll just be tacked on, but possibly just due to IT challenges or other reasons, they haven't added that with Lyft and Sidecar. So, for instance, I've taken a Sidecar trip from South Boston over to Logan Airport for $11, including the tip. Wow. with a cab and the fees and tolls that they add on, it would cost a lot more.
How can they be making enough money to stay in business with that? Those prices are great.
A lot of it may be just drivers that are doing it, that do it as a part-time job. Usually the company, whatever the service is, whether it be Uber or Lyft, will take about 20% of the total bill, and then the driver will get the rest. They do offer driver promotions from time to time where the driver would get the entire, you know, 100% of the ride when they're trying to get extra drivers on.
This is purely done between smartphones, so there's not a whole infrastructure of dispatchers and the like. And then at least in big cities like Boston, New York, for years there's been this sham in the cab company business of medallions, where, you know, the licensing is restricted. So for a cab to be on the road is somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million.
Right.
And you're paying for that in the cab system.
When these services launched, as I said, Uber launched in 2009, and they've kind of gone through different iterations and changes. And one thing, unfortunately, if you didn't use it back then, that you kind of missed out on, that's no longer available now. When Lyft and Sidecar launched in Boston and other markets, the computer would give you an amount that it thought you should pay. What they called it was a suggested donation. So the computer might say your trip is $10, but you were free to lower that or raise it or just accept the $10. If your driver got lost or there was a problem, you could lower it. You know, you could raise it if you got excellent service. Most of the time, you would just kind of leave it at what the computer suggested. But that was kind of a true innovation. But unfortunately, both Lyft and Sidecar have eliminated that. With Lyft and Sidecar, the amount the computer suggests, you can raise it, but you can't lower it. I think even when they offered this feature, they kept track of people, like, because in theory you could lower it to zero and get the ride for free. They've eliminated that now, so that now if you feel that your driver kind of got lost or went around trying to take you wherever you were going, you can write to customer service and they will usually adjust your fare. But in the good old days, you know, when they first launched, you could just take care of it right then and not have to write in the customer service. Lyft probably has the simplest interface, so why don't we start with that? And so the idea would be that we'd be sitting at MIT here in this building and that we would want to go somewhere. It can really help you if you have more than one app, because you can see how close the nearest driver is before you make your request. So let's open Lyft and see
Lyft.
How close
menu
the
loading.
Nearest Lyft driver is.
Request Lyft button.
It's trying to gauge our location by GPS. So let's
request pickup location 55 Massachusetts A button.
Usually it will get something close. Sometimes it will be right on the money of exactly where you are. But you can click here and actually change it to, in our case, 77 Massachusetts Ave.
Request Lyft to 55 Massachusetts Ave. Pickup center current location button plus center pickup location Lyft Morton Street.
Normally within this screen it would tell you how close the nearest
center current
driver
plus
is.
Pickup
so
location
me,
50.
I'm going to
pickup
change
location.
It to 77.
Current location. Eastern Bank. Current cancel. Clear tap. Pickup location. Insertion point at start. 5. Space. Delete. Delete. 5. Delete. Delete. More. 7. Current location. Current location. Search. Delete. Delete. Search. 77 Massachusetts 8. 77 Massachusetts 8. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02142.
So I did a search. It found this address, so I'm going to click on this more precise address.
Request Lyft to 77 Massachusetts A button. Request Lyft to busy. Pickup look busy.
So busy. So right now there are no Lyfts cars available to us. It would probably change in a few, and that's probably why it wasn't showing. It didn't say busy. It just didn't reflect the time.
Request Lyft busy.
So we'll close that for a second.
Home.
And then
settings. Hey, hello.
Go into Uber.
Hello, Sidecar, Uber.
And probably when we
Uber.
Get back to
everyone's
the
private driver.
One will have opened up.
Your trip. Leaving September 5th. Trip summary. Vehicle. Driver. Destination. Rachel Wright. 1 star. 2 star. 3 star. 4 stars. Button.
So this is the end of a trip where it gives you the amount and where you can rate your driver.
Selected. 4 star. 5 star. Submit. Button. Account menu button.
and let's see where Uber
set pickup location. ETA 2 minute. Destination pickup location. 77 Massachusetts Avenue. Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
So it picked up that we were in 77 Mass Ave. We don't have to set the destination right away, but if we do, we can get a fair estimate.
Destination.
You can also set the destination after you request the ride. And the neat thing with all three actually now allow you to specify the destination. And then the driver sees the destination in the driver app, so you don't even have to tell them where you're going, or you can just confirm, but they're going to visually have the address.
Set pickup location. ETA 3 minutes. Button. Selected. Selected. UberX. Surge pricing. Button.
So these are the five different vehicle types. It starts with UberX, which is the least expensive. It said surge pricing. Lyft and Uber have something where when it gets busy, they'll add a multiplier to the fare. It can cost more if it's busy. Lyft calls it prime time. And the amounts that they add with Uber, it can be quite significant. It can be 4 times the cost of a normal fare. With Lyft, it's usually a little bit more modest, 25 to 75%. But as we saw, there were no Lyfts available. So Uber is saying, hey, we'll get you a car, no matter what, even if it's New Year's Eve. But you might have to pay 4 or 5 times, what the normal cost would be. But they want to say, basically 100% of the time, we'll have a car available for you, even if it's going to be more.
Uber XL. Button.
So there's not the surge pricing on the Uber XL, but that price is a little bit higher than the Uber X. Let's just
selected
see.
Uber X button.
And actually, while we were sitting here, the surge ended because it didn't say surge pricing. So
selected set pickup location. ETA 4 minutes. Button.
4 minutes away now, and then I'll show you the other vehicle types.
Selected. Selected. Uber X button. Uber XL button. Taxi button. Black car button.
So if we click on black car.
Selected. Black car.
And then we can get the ETA for the black car.
X, you select center map.
I'm just swiping
button.
Back.
Set pickup location. ETA 5 minutes. Button.
So the nearest black car is 5 minutes away.
Center. Select Uber taxi. Button.
Let's
selected.
On the taxi.
Taxi.
Again, a metered taxi if you want a regular, taxi cab.
Uber select center map. Set pickup location. ETA 7 minutes. Button.
7 minutes.
Center map.
This is
selected.
A good location
UberX button.
Right near, Boston and Cambridge lines.
UberX, so. UberX button. Selected. Select center. Set pickup location. ETA 5 minutes. Button.
Once you've decided on a vehicle type that you want to use, you hit set current location.
Confirmation.
And then you get one more screen to kind of review everything.
Pickup location. 77 Massachusetts Avenue. Massachusetts destination.
And we could add the destination again now. We were able to add it earlier. We could not add it at all and just tell the driver where we're going. Or we could even add it once the driver accepted the ride.
Payment. Personal visa ending in 3536. Button. Center map. Button. Fare quote. Button.
So if we had put in a destination, we could get a fare quote for each of the five vehicle types. I'm not sure actually if it does fare quotes for the taxis, but definitely the Uber fares it will.
Can we set one? Just
yeah, a destination.
Pickup destination.
Put in the airport.
Text field. Is editing. Character mode. Enter destination.
Logan Airport?
Yeah.
Okay.
L. L. O. O. H. G. G. Q. A. A. V. B. N. N. Space. A A I I R R P P O O R R T T search. One Harbors IDR. One Harbors IDR. Boston Logan International Airport. One Harbors IDR. Boston MA. Boston Logan. Cancel.
All right. So we did
button.
The Uber X. So.
Confirmation. Pickup. Look. Destination. Center map. Payment. Fare quote. Button. Close black. Button.
And then we could also compare this to sidecar.
Fare quote. Fare quote. Uber. Progress altered. Fares may vary due to traffic. Enter a new destination. Estimated fare, $30.37.
So $30 to $37. I'm not sure if that includes the toll or not.
Fare quote, close black.
But then,
request Uber button.
The final step of requesting the ride would be hit that button, request UberX.
Promo code.
And
pickup time is approximately 6 minutes.
This will keep changing, so if we thought about it for another 5 minutes, we could see this.
Pickup time is approximately 5 minutes.
And then once you request the car, it's going to give you an ETA sort of counting down. And then, so when it was 1 or 2 minutes out away, we could walk out at precisely that time. So using all of these services, you don't have to kind of wonder or wait around for your car. You'll know exactly when it's going to be there. Now, I will mention also there is
an
accessibility problem.
Pickup time is approximately 5 minutes.
With
request
many of
Uber
these apps,
button.
And that is the lack of accessibility of geolocation data. So you're able to actually see on the map, even before you request a ride, how many vehicles are nearby and where they are. And then once a vehicle is dispatched and assigned to you, you're able to see where that vehicle specifically is as it's coming to pick you up. So you could tell, you know, are they coming from Harvard Square or across the bridge in Boston? And, you know, what route are they taking to pick me up? You know, you could start out where it says the vehicle is coming and it's 5 minutes away, but then it could go up to 7 minutes and you would want to be able to see where that vehicle is. And the TNCs haven't made that geolocation data accessible yet. The NFB of Massachusetts did reach an accessibility settlement agreement with Sidecar, and that's one of the items that they're working
Sidecar.
On. And I'm sure the others will in time work
Sidecar
out as well.
Button.
So I should pretty quickly be able to get that quote for Logan Airport in Sidecar as well.
*ODR, invite your friend. Closest Sidecar is 15 minutes away.
So Sidecar is the smallest. You will often see that the drivers are a little bit further away.
Invite center map. Where are you going?
And I
text
think
field
I have
is
Logan
editing.
Airport
character mode.
Saved in
where
here.
Are you going? 68 Boston Logan International Airport. Button.
So now I'm going to get a list of the drivers available and the prices.
Fuat. Rycroft. Selected. Driver ETA. Button. Boston Logan Driver ETA. Button. Selected. Recommended. Rycroft. Fuat. 05 Jeep Grand Cherokee. 23. Minimum. ETA. $12.
So he's 23 minutes away. And he's got a Jeep, and it would cost $12. So that is, you know, quite a bit less than the Uber price.
Request the lot button.
And we can request that driver specifically. With the other apps, you're going to get the closest available driver, but you can't really pick which one you want or don't want.
USAF 09 Mercedes Benz 300 Class 36 minimum. ETA, $24.
So he's 36 minutes away, and it's going to
double the price.
And but we get a little nicer car, perhaps.
Request you stop. Button.
It said 36 minimum. Now, does that mean it could change?
No, it's reading, the way it's reading isn't perhaps the clearest. It's reading the ETA first, which is minutes,
okay.
And then the price. Like, I'll let it read it again here.
Fuat, right price. Fuat, 05 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 23, minimum. ETA. $12.
It's saying 23 minutes and $12.
Yeah, VoiceOver is thinking it's minimum, but it's really minutes.
I think one of the best things is kind of knowing where the car is exactly, so you don't have to waste time kind of calling or going outside and coming back in. You can also, you know, request the ride and then be doing something else while you're getting ready and then go out at just the right time.
Now, say the vehicle is 20 minutes away. You just said you want to do something, so you're not standing there watching the countdown. Any of them have some alert sound or something that you could set, so you say, well, let me know when it's 5 minutes.
But then the driver is actually there, yeah.
Or the driver is here or something, so that you don't have to keep your eye or ear, in this case, out for the alert countdown, you know?
Yes, they all, if you close the app, they will all alert you
1554.
When the driver
arriving. Sidecar.
The way Uber does it is the driver presses an arriving, a button that says that they're arriving, and that triggers the signal to you. And Lyft actually does it by GPS, so when the system detects that they're at the specific address, they don't really do anything. The system then just sends a message that the car is arriving. And at first I thought that wouldn't work that well, and it may not in some areas, but I've literally been standing in front of my house and get that ding, and then the car pulls up in like 10 seconds.
But what happens if you're in like a public area and you're being picked up somewhere? How do you know that the car is for you, and how do they know you're waiting?
So all of them give you the option to call or text the driver.
Once you've confirmed to me.
Right. You could give them more information. At my work, a lot of the times I'll have them pick me up at the side or the back door. And if I go out and see that there's a car right there, I'll just open the door and I'd say 99.9% it's the Uber or the Lyft. You do get the driver's name. So you could say, like, hi, you know, is this Amy? Or you could say even, what's your name? You know, to make sure it matches up.
They have your information, too, so they can text or phone you if they're having trouble finding you.
Right.
You immediately...
They know your name. When the time to take Uber, I was like, hey, are you Frank? Yeah, I'm Frank.
And some of them also show your picture if you link it with...
I was Frank with lots of stores and things, and the driver just rolled down the window. I mean, we were standing on a sidewalk, and he was like, hey, are you Frank?
Yeah, you're communicating directly with the driver.
Apple gets a cut from all this?
I don't think they do because the apps are free.
Right?
Although Uber is going to use Apple Pay, and I have read that Apple will get some cut of Apple Pay transactions. I think if you don't have an Uber account, you'll be able to use Apple Pay. The thing where these companies are now changing, kind of innovating, they're now starting to offer carpooling services where you could share a ride and it would be less expensive. And Uber and Lyft have rolled that out in San Francisco, but it hasn't actually reached Boston yet. And they're also being integrated into more third-party apps. So you could be in like the Starbucks app or the United Airlines app and request an Uber with contextual address information from those apps, and it would take you into the Uber app with some information pre-filled in.
Is the sign-up process difficult with the apps?
It's relatively straightforward. I mean, they all have different nuances. Sometimes there have been issues where when you're entering characters, you'll just hear like a sound. It's just a little tedious to type in your credit card number and all that, but as far as I know, they all, you know, you can do it.
Are the drivers also screened? You said the cars have to meet certain criteria and their driving records, but what about like a Cori check? Do they do anything like that?
My understanding is they do check for criminal records, but I don't know, you know, exactly how they do it or...
For any of us, it'd be a concern, but I think particularly for a woman, I would think it might be a concern.
Although they have a lot of information about who you are and who the driver is, so it would... Yeah, at the end of the trip, you rate the driver and they rate you typically.
Mick, I know you know, Uber... No cash changes hands. With any of these other services, do you actually pay the driver?
No, they're all similar in that regard. So the payment is through the app. With Halo, for instance, you can specify the tip within the app of how much you want to give.
Now, is there a better time to use one versus the other? I know you said going to the airport might be one because Sidecar doesn't charge for the tolls and Lyft, and whereas Uber does. What about other times when it's best to use certain one?
I mean, I found for also longer trips that Sidecar is less expensive, but you might have to wait 20 minutes for the car, and they don't have as big a coverage area, so they may not be in the suburbs as much.
So in terms of certainty, so let's say if I have to be at the airport at 5 in the morning, which one you recommend?
At 3:30 or whatever, I would have all of them so you can check, you know.
Okay.
And where would you be coming from?
Unlock button.
So yeah, Brookline is well covered. I mean,
side Halo.
And let's go back to Lyft and see.
Sidecar, Uber, Lyft, running.
If a car opened up here because we got that
Lyft,
busy
loading.
Earlier.
Request Lyft button. Request Lyft.
It's still kind of processing the address.
Request Lyft, but pickup location. 77 Massachusetts A. Button. Center Cont location. Pickup location. Request Lyft to 77 Massachusetts A. Pickup location. Center Cont plus. Request Lyft to 77 Massachusetts. Busy. Pick busy.
Busy. So still busy.
Yeah, I wonder what that plus means.
Let me
pick up Center Cont plus. Active ride mode. Plus Lyft plus. Plus 100% prime time. 100% will be added to your total to encourage more people to drive during the busiest times. Seat 6 people. Minimum $6. Pickup $1.69. Per mile, $1.97. Per minute, $0.38. $1 trust and safety fee added to all rides. Close message. But
so I wonder if it, because it says seat six people.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's their large.
$1 truck close message. Button.
Yeah.
Request plus to 77 Massachusetts A. Busy.
Yeah,
request plus to 77
plus.
Massachusetts A.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah.
Pickup
yeah.
Center active ride mode. Plus. Button.
This was running a
button.
Promotion.
Request
where
busy.
You sign up, your first ride is free up to a value of $25.
Yeah, you have a code for that in your paperwork that you have.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you.